In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. One very common experience we will and we all share and admit that it has intensified during fasting, during this period of Lent, of fasting, is temptation. Now, why did I say during fast or during the time of Lent, the great fast, and during any fasting, is number one, because Adam and Eve, our first parents, were tempted while fasting. Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, we read, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it," said Eve to the Satan or to the serpent. So our biological fathers were tempted while they were abstaining. Always remember, fasting means abstaining. They didn't eat. Christ, praise and glory be to his name, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, and also in the Gospel of Luke, fasted, and Luke comments that he did not eat for 40 days and 40 nights. Then the tempter, Satan, approached him to tempt him. So too, we who are Adam-like by nature and Christ-like by grace must prepare and accept the attacks of the tempter as we too have entered our wilderness fasting. If you are not enduring temptation, it is because of one or two reasons. Either you are complete in faith and deeds and have overcome the tempter, that is Satan, or you are in compliance in faith and deeds with the tempter himself. But for those who are struggling while fasting, if you're struggling with temptation, do not fret, don't worry, don't throw in the towel, but be encouraged. Actually, be joyous and count it your blessings. Take it as a blessing. Now you may be asking, what? What? Or is it what? Or why? Well, remember, we or you are by nature a human being. You're an Adamite, created by God in his image and his likeness, whom Lucifer, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, the fallen angel, Lucifer, or in the Aramaic Pshutta version, wailer at dawn, that is Satan himself, despises. He despises you. He despises us. We're Adamites. We're created by God in his image and his likeness. And also, we or you are Christ-like by nature. Christ, whom the tempter had the audacity to dare to tempt and try to cause to concede to his temptation. An alarming yet encouraging verse in Luke chapter 23, verse 31 is this. Jesus says, "For if they," that is the Romans who did what they did to Jesus Christ, "for if they are doing these things which with green wood, what will happen with the dried wood?" Now, let's put it in the fasting perspective. If Christ, that green tree, that ever flourishing and everlasting and continuous and ever living on account of his divinity, who was laden with fruits, bearing much fruits of his teachings, which nourished everyone, he was treated how he was by Satan, what will he not do to you and I who are barren of holiness, of righteousness, and are so fruitless? What will he do to us? He tempted Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the Son of Man, the Son of God, God incarnate. He tempted him. What will he do to you and I? We say in Assyrian, he will play football with us, or tennis, or basketball, whatever you want to call it. He will play havoc with us, beloved, especially during fasting, because that's what we're talking about. So, yes, let's rejoice and take courage being tempted and learn from them, beloved. Understand them, fathom them. Learn what from them? Again, since we are being tempted, we are also tried, or we are tested by God. During Satan's temptations, not God's temptations, and we're going to read a verse which we've quoted many times, but as a refresher, when we are tempted by Satan, we are tested by God as well. So during that time, let's rejoice. Let's not fret, but let's bear the burden of the temptations. However, bear them not through your own strength, knowledge, and wisdom, no, or ability, but bear them through the grace of God, the strength that God will give us through by his grace and mercy, graciously. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we read, no temptation has come upon you. No temptation has come upon you except that of the children of men. That is, temptations are owing to the weakness of the flesh. Because the flesh is weak, the flesh has the desires, temptations come upon those evil desires. Now, that's why Jesus took on our flesh, praise and glory be to his name. He took on the weakness of our flesh. Not that he is weak, not that he is evil, chasli. No, no, no. But he took on this weak, defiled and fruitless flesh that was overcome by Satan and the temptation in the Garden of Eden to overcome Satan through his obedience. So no temptation has come upon you except that of the children of man. That means, you know, human beings. But God, see, God is faithful, not men. Not men. That's why we need to seek God's grace and to give us strength to overcome these temptations. Not men. It is God's assistance we need to ask and to pray for. Lord, help me. Lord, grant me the prudence. Lord, grant me the alertness to be awake, to be watchful during these times, and to be awake and to understand and to choose and to be prudent to know what is the temptation of Satan. And the verse goes on to say, God is faithful, who shall not allow you to be tempted more than whatever you are able, but shall make an exit for your temptation so that you can endure. God will find a way for you, not you. See, this is the problem. We try to overcome our temptations through our own knowledge and understanding and strength. No, no, no. God will find a way. God will find the exit. God will find the way that you will exit your temptation so that you can endure them. So endure them, because knowing that God will there will come a time where God will help you to exit those temptations. Our ability to bear our temptations comes from the grace of God, beloved, which we obtain by asking him. Now, not asking him according to our will, according to our understanding and our knowledge. No, no, no. According to his will, his timing. See, St. Paul had a temptation. St. Paul had a struggle from the enemy, which is Satan. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, God's answer to St. Paul, who three times constantly requested for the removal of the thorn in his flesh. Now, you know, I heard once someone was preaching, and if you pray to the Lord and you do not receive, you do not have faith. What? St. Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the Bible, of the New Testament, three times asked God to take that thorn away from his flesh. Three times. So he did not have faith because God did not cure him? No, no, no. But God replied to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness." So if someone says to you, are you asking and you're not receiving, you don't have faith, you say, no, 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 no. No, you can't judge my faith. You don't know. Because it could be God's grace that is sufficient for me, and God could be using me for his power to be perfected in my weakness. So if there is no removal of temptations, no ease, God may be showing his strength through you. God may be perfecting his strength through you to show that you can do through God and to persevere and not grumble when we are tempted. Let us also keep in mind, beloved, the reason for our temptations. See, we forget this. We sometimes overlook, and sometimes we ignore it, purposely ignore it. No, no, no. The reason for our temptation, as stated by St. James in chapter 1, verse 14, we are tempted from our own desires and lusts, and we are seduced. Our own desires and our lusts, evil desires and our lusts, which are our weaknesses, our foolishness, and our desires. Let's identify our desires and lusts that subdue us to sin. Why? Because these are the target point for Satan to shoot his flaming arrows. Be aware. One man's desires and lusts become Satan's target for his flaming arrows of temptation. Now, you may be thinking, you may be saying, you may be whispering, you may be grumbling, you may be screaming, I don't know, you may be asking, Father, what if I failed? What if I have conceded and given in to my temptation because of my evil weakness and foolishness and folly? Do I go and visit In-N-Out? Do I go straight to Namino or Patoch or craving kebabs and it's done, throwing my towel and go back to my normal eating and normal, you know, daily routine and don't worry about fast? And do I break my fast? You know, I said in the Assyrian section, sometimes we so ponder on things that are truly irrelevant, especially the food factor. You know, there are times when we've witnessed that, you know, you accidentally eat something that have some dairy products and then someone will say, oh, there was butter in there. Like, what have you done? Like, well, relax, okay? Not what goes in a man defiles a man. It's what comes out. What comes out of a man defiles a man. Now, I don't mean that we don't fast from food. We spoke about this last episode, right? No. You don't throw in the towel because you had a speck of butter or cheese or what have you. No, don't throw in the towel because you conceded to your temptation, because you took your eyes off the grace of God, because you put down your shield of protection and you put down your guard in front of Satan the tempter and you fell. No, no, get up, pick up and continue where you left. Continue where you left off, learning from your mistake and folly. Learn from it because you are weak. Now, don't take for granted and don't take lightly because I continue to concede in my weaknesses and my temptation and I sin. No, don't take it lightly, but learn from it. Why? Why did I concede? What was the cause of me to concede? It was a best friend? Well, cut off that best friend. Is a family friend? Cut off that family friend. Not hate and have nothing to do. No, cut it off. If it was a specific place, cut off that specific place. Jesus instructs and commands, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. And it's not only seeing things, no. The church fathers say that and comment that this eye could also mean a very special person, a very special friend, a very special relative, family friend. No, cut that person out, cut that place out, and then continue to toil and struggle and soldier on. Continue, beloved, continue to enter the narrow gate, enter. Strive to enter the narrow gates. Continue. Don't give up. Why? Because Jesus, who took on our flesh. Now, what does that mean? Again, took on that putrid flesh, that sinful, evil, desired flesh. Took it on, was born with it, then faced Satan and hammered Satan. Put Satan to naught, to nil, hammered Satan with his temptations, took it into the baptism. By the way, he took it in the waters of baptism to cleanse it and hammered Satan with it, and then started to preach and give hope to flesh, to us one more time, and then took it up on the cross and nailed it to the cross. This Jesus Christ is not a Lord who awaits to condemn, to behead, to hang. No, no, he doesn't do that. He's a merciful, gracious Jesus Christ. Why does he not wait to condemn, to behead, and to hang? Because he understands. He has been there and overcome that. Not been there and done that. No, Chasli. He has been there and overcome that. Now, there is a verse that is probably coming to mind of those who read their Holy Scriptures. Yes, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 to 16. We do not have a high priest. A side note, for those who teach and argue that there is no more priesthood, well, number one, nothing that is God and is of Jesus Christ ends. It's eternal. His priesthood is eternal. So if Jesus is the high priest, and he is, if he is the high priest, which priest is he the height of? What priesthood? The priesthood that is now in the apostolic churches. Amen. God bless you. Let's go on. So for we do not have a high priest who cannot suffer or sympathize with our weakness, but one who was tempted in all things like we are. So you're going through a temptation and you've dropped the ball and you've conceded to your temptation and have sinned. Well, Jesus was tempted in all things like you are. Take heart, guys, come on. Come on, how beautiful is this? You should be now, if you feel gloomy because, you know, you've during this time, again, you failed, you should get up now and praise the Lord and say, oh my God, thank you, Lord God, thank you. Yes, you were tempted in all things like I am, but you did not sin. You're apart from sin. You are perfect. So we have a high priest who sympathizes with us. Because he was tempted, but he did not sin. And then St. Paul says, here it is. This is what you do. If you ask the question, what do I do if I sin and if I drop the ball, if I've done something that I shouldn't during Lent? This is what Paul is saying. Let's come, therefore, publicly to the throne of his grace. Come out. Cry it out. I'm going to go back to the throne of the grace of Jesus Christ, the mercy of Jesus Christ. Why? So that I receive that mercy and that I shall find grace to help in a time of suffering. I'm suffering now, and there is the grace. I have now been comforted. Lord, you were tempted. You know what I'm going through, but you didn't sin. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Grant me the strength to learn from why I have come where I am, to learn why I have defiled myself, and grant me the strength to continue to trust in you and not to go back to my vomit like a dog who returns back to his vomit. You shall find grace. That is the power to overcome temptation by grace, beloved. I want to share with you St. John Chrysostom on some of his homilies and writings on fasting. He writes, yes, for therefore you took up arms. You've taken up arms. Where? From the time of baptism. You have received the Holy Spirit. You have been enlisted in the army of God from the time of your baptism. Yes. For therefore you took up arms, not to be idle, but to fight. Meaning there's going to be a competition. Satan's going to tempt. Not only during fasting, but we're talking about the Lent. Remember last week's program. Not only the 40 days or the 7 weeks. No, this got to continue. Your battle's going to continue. Not to be idle, but to fight. For this cause, neither does God hinder the temptations as they come on you. He won't stop these temptations. He will allow the temptations to come to you. Why? First, to teach you that you have become much stronger. When you overcome that evil habit, that demon that is within you, whether it's gambling, pornographic, sexual immorality, homosexuality, fraud, extortion, gossip, cussing, drunkardness, whatever it is, drugs, whatever it is, when you overcome them, you are stronger because through those temptations, God has strengthened you. Second, that you may continue modest, neither be exalted even by the greatness of your gifts, he writes, the temptations having power to repress you. So you go through temptations. When you go through that temptation and you sometimes stumble and fall, that's God telling you, you're not perfect yet. Don't take on the world. Just because you've read 2 pages of the scriptures and 3 verses from the Gospel of John, the divine Gospel of John, doesn't mean you are a macho spiritual man. You got to be careful. You got to continue to fight because Satan is going to continue to tempt you, and God will allow that to strengthen you and to humble you. So through our temptations, we are humbled. When I am tempted, I must be humbled and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, forgive me. Lord, at your feet. And he goes on to say, third, in order that the wicked demon, who is for a while doubtful about your desertion, your abandonment of him, which he thinks, no, you know what, he's on my side. This guy is mine. But through temptation, when he thinks that you are his, by the standard of temptations, may be well assured that you have utterly forsaken and fallen from him. Through your temptations, you're overcoming the temptations by the grace of God. Satan knows that you have fallen from him. You have forsaken him. You are not his property. You are the property of Jesus Christ, who brought you by his blood. Fourthly, that you may in this way be made stronger and better tempered, toughened than any steel. Through temptation, when you overcome, you become even stronger to continue to fight the battle, to continue to take on the fiery flames, the fiery flaming arrows of Satan, to continue to stand steadfast, even if you fall. And lastly, that you may obtain a clear demonstration of the treasures, that is the eternal life, entrusted to you. Yes, our prayers should be, as taught by Jesus Christ, do not lead us into trials that come from the temptations. But if you do, Lord, deliver me from the defeat, the pleasure, and satisfaction of the evil one. Saint Ephrem the Assyrian writes, to men that are just and upright, temptations become helps. Think about that. To people, let me put it this way, to those that are just and upright, temptations become helps. Think about it, beloved. So join me in beseeching the Lord and saying, lead me not into trials, but deliver me from the evil one. O gracious Lord God, praise and glory be to your name, now and at all times and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.